When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Athletes Unfiltered.
Little zone read, and Martinez into the open field. What a move he made in the backfield. Looking for the pylon. He's got a touchdown.
The podcast made by the athlete for the fans.
They fake the pop pass. Martinez under duress, but he can improvise, and improvise he does. What a run. And into the end zone, Adrian Martinez.
Now here are your hosts, Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom.
Well, welcome back. Whether you're cooking dinner, doing some work, whatever else you do, we're glad you joined in. Episode 3 now of Athletes Unfiltered.
We're racking them up.
Oh, yeah. I'm your host, Jeff Ekstrom. You just heard him. My other host, Adrian Martinez. Adrian, how's it going?
It's going good. Really excited about this episode and, again, just excited that we can continue to roll, push these out and get this thing rolling and excited for what it's going to be and all that it is right now, you know, in the moment.
We decided we wanted double trouble for this third episode. You heard Cam Jurgens last time, but coming up in just a little bit, Austin Allen, Travis Vokolek, tight end. Two of the tight end group people joining us here.
Yeah, you know, some guys call them Tweedledee and Tweedledum. you'll figure it out once you hear them. They're great. Two of the best tight ends in the game, and I'm confident in that. And excited that we could get them on, and you guys could hear from them because they're worth hearing from and knowing their stories and the type of guys they are. Good people and hell of a football player, both of them. So. Excited that we were able to get them on here and see what they're all about.
It's a great listen. Don't go away just in a little bit. But first, we'd like to start out each episode, just another subject to riff about before we get into the main portions. And Adrian, let's talk a little bit about this past season and just with it being impacted by COVID and just having to deal with all that, because, I mean, that's a once-in-a-century type thing. That you're going to have to deal with COVID and just something like that. Mm-hmm. How was it? I mean, that must have been tough. Testing daily. And I mean, having the Big Ten cancel the season, then bringing it back. I mean, what a roller coaster.
It was definitely a roller coaster. And honestly, I mean, even talking about it right now, I'm so sick of it. You know, I'm so sick of it. And I know there's a lot of people out there feeling the same way. And I'm thankful that in Lincoln right now, we don't have a mask mm-hmm. mandate. And things feel a little bit normal and that we're going to get fans back in the stands during the year. But while it was going on, it was almost just shock, you know, mm-hmm. like, is this real life? I remember when we first got the news, it was like, oh, school's going online. Like, sweet, we're going to get to golf during the day. We're going to get to, you know, do this, that, and the other. And, like, this is going to be away in a month. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be gone. It's not going to impact the season at all. I wasn't thinking that far ahead. I had no idea the magnitude of it,
yeah.
You know, or the what it was going to affect and how daily life was going to be and probably change forever. You know, things will never be exactly the same the way they were. But that whole process, it was just weird. You know, a lot of guys went back home mm-hmm. and guys came back at different time periods. And there was just a lot of uncertainty. And I'd say that was the worst thing to deal with, just not knowing what the season was going to look like for us. And then them canceling the season. And so we were ready to go. I mean, shoot. Mm-hmm. I think we were in fall camp at the time, ready to go, like hyped about our first game and canceled. Like, okay, well, there's still a sliver of hope. And obviously it's been well documented, but we fought hard for a season. And we knew how much it meant to the state and how much to us personally. And all of college football, that impact on the country, and we felt like it was important to stick up for that and stick up for what we believed in and we did that, and I'm proud of kind of the impact we were able to have on the Big Ten and on the country in general and getting football back. So that happens, and we start fall camp all over again. And like, okay, we're pumped, but there's a caveat. Like, okay, we have to start this at level playing field with all the Big Ten teams. Like, we got to, you know, it's got to be fair because some – I mean, everyone was at different stages, all teams. Some teams were, like, fully committed and not playing, and some teams were, like, you know, we can't get our guys back right now, whatever. It was just kind of a – it was kind of a mess, probably around the country, but – in the Big Ten, it was just tough. So we're like, okay, we're going to settle for this only Big Ten schedule. I think we played eight games, you know, eight-game schedule. We're like, okay, this is better than nothing. Like, we're pumped to be playing football. Don't know exactly what it's going to look like or what it means, but, hey, we're playing. So can we complain? And I'll never forget, first game we go play in Ohio State, and I've played at Ohio State before, and it's loud, it's rowdy, and it's fun, you know. It's what you dream about growing up, playing in those type of stadiums, playing Memorial Stadium. And we get there, you know, it's just kind of weird and eerie feeling almost. It's just weird, you know. The Fox, you know, pregame show guys are there. You know, there's like Brady Quinn and Reggie Bush and stuff, Matt Leinart, those
having
guys.
Having Gus Johnson call the game and everything.
Yeah, you know, the whole bit. And they're located in one of the end zones a little bit behind it. Okay, so first drive, we get the ball. We go down, we score in like three plays. And I actually score, you know, burst out to the right side and – get in, I'm, you know, fist pumping and like let's go. And I look up and there's no one there.
Yeah.
And I can hear myself echo. I can hear my teammates. I'm like, well, this, like, hey, we scored. I'm pumped. Playing on Fox, middle of the day, it's sweet. But I can, like, hear Matt Leinart up in the, like, 10 yards away from me. And I can, it just didn't feel the same.
Yeah.
It didn't feel the same. And it didn't have that kind of not that it wasn't special, but that same type of ring to it. So it was tough handling that. I think guys got used to it, but, I mean, in all reality, in all honesty, it just wasn't as much fun playing in that type of environment. I mean, that's just the truth. You want to play in packed stadiums. You want to play in front of fans, and you want to enjoy that with your teammates and relish in those moments. And so that was hard for everyone, and obviously everyday life was just not the same. Like, we had to make a lot of sacrifices.
Yeah.
You know, a ton of sacrifices. You couldn't go out, couldn't hang out. You had to constantly, I mean, like, someone have COVID. Am I interacting with someone who has COVID? Am I jeopardizing the team if I come, you know, if I have symptoms, whatever. I mean, you're getting tested daily. And if you come and you infect, turns out you had it, you come to practice, you infect your position group. And for me, the quarterbacks, I mean, we're not playing this week because of me, if that happens,
or playing Wildcat the entire game, if something happens like that.
What if Austin Allen comes in with COVID and, like, the tight end room gets infected? I mean, are we going to play? Can we play? I mean, I think the rule was, like, if eight guys get COVID, you can't play that week. And so that was a constant worry of, you know, everyone involved. And there's a lot of sacrifices that have to be made. And so you spend an entire fall semester watching that closely, and that means limiting who you interact with. I mean, I didn't see my family. They didn't come to a game, and even if they did, I don't think I would have been able to see them because, I mean, there's just too much on the line as far as that goes. And when you pile that on top of, hey, we need to be winning some more games, and everything else that went on during that season, I mean, hell, it was a lot to handle, and I'm proud of the way our guys handled it and that we fought for football regardless of the outcome, because of how much it mattered to the community, to us, to the country. And,
And going back to kind of backtracking a little bit with the Big Ten canceling the season, obviously it's pretty public that Nebraska fought for the season to go on.
And got a lot of backlash.
Yeah.
A lot of backlash.
I mean, yeah, everybody bashed on Nebraska. And, I mean, I don't know. It didn't seem right. I mean,
I don't think it was. I mean, we turned into the villain because I don't think there was anyone else really taking on that role. I think we were one of the first, if not the first school to, like, really stand up for it in a public way. I mean, head coach, AD, president, players on the team, stand up for it and be like, we can make this happen. We can follow the guidelines and have it be safe and make this happen because we feel it's important enough to do. And not everyone's going to agree on that. You know, that's life. Not, I don't think there's a person that agrees, you know.
Yeah.
Not everyone agrees on anything. But it was kind of tough seeing that on social media, on TV, people you watch growing up just bashing on Nebraska because maybe at the time that was a popular take to have. You know, if that's what they believed or not, just bashing on us for having an opinion, for standing up for something we believed in, and that's tough, you know. But I think it helped the team kind of bond over something. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we're all in this. Like, let's fucking go, you know. Let's go, you know. Let them hate.
Let's accept that villain role. I say that in air quotes.
Yeah,
let's accept that villain role.
The villain role, you know, and we love that. I think that's something we might even embrace a little bit moving forward. I kind of like that, you know. Why not? So it is what it is, and I wouldn't take it back, and I know the coaches wouldn't, and, you know, administration, and I'm glad we were all on the same page with that. And it was a hell of a journey, hell of a trip, and you're right. Like, it's once in a century, like a pandemic.
Yeah, happened 100 years ago, and probably not going to happen for another 100 years or so. If we're lucky, it doesn't. But
yeah, knock on some
wood. That's not a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing.
Yeah, and all that came with it. I mean, man. Just nuts. I mean, and it could be lonely at times too, man. You know, like some guys had to quarantine and kind of do their own thing, like by themselves for a couple of weeks, you know, and not have any interaction with anyone. And I mean, all you got during that time is like, okay, all I got is football and my teammates and school, online school.
Yep, because it's practice, home, school, back to practice. Same rotation. You're not really.
You're not doing anything else, and you're not getting a lot of interaction outside of that. And I feel like people. I mean, guys need it. We're college students. We're. And I mean, even during a normal year, I think it might have just been kind of the thought of like we can't do anything else. Even if I wanted to, like, at least now we're gonna have the option. Like, hey, if I want to go do something else, I can do it. I can go out and have a bite to eat. You know, like, no, it wasn't an option.
Mm-mm.
So. Yeah, I'm glad that's in the rearview mirror for the most part. We'll have to ask a couple guys about that moving forward and their experiences, but I know it was a hell of a journey, and I'm thankful that I was with the people I was, surrounded by the people I was, you know, and felt like I was a part of something because I could see some other guys, you know, other places really falling apart, you know, just having to deal with things like that and not having anything else besides football. You know, it's not really a healthy thing. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have other aspects of your life to balance things out. Like, football can be really important and maybe close to damn near the most important thing. No. You got to have a balanced life.
It's like like what the movie Soul taught me.
Oh, little Pixar movie reference. Okay.
Your job or whatnot does not define you. Your career doesn't define you.
No, I mean, I went through that journey myself my sophomore year, you know, like my identity was in football and it was like, I am a football player. I am the quarterback. And when you do stuff like that, I mean, the ups and downs can be really high and it can
rough.
Be,
yeah, it can be rough and
really low when you're hanging on something like that. But when you're rooted in something else, you know, for me, like my faith and who I am as a person, whatever happens on the football field is what it is. But I can go home and be, like, comfortable with who I am, and I'm okay with whatever other result happens. Because that's not – doesn't define me. It doesn't change me. Yeah. I am who I am, and I'm proud of that, and I can let that other stuff go. But that's a learning process for a lot of people, and COVID might have exposed it for better or for worse for a lot of people, I am sure.
Because, not having those other activities and other hobbies to do away from the athletics, you're bringing those performances and those expectations home with you.
Yeah.
Rather than the normal times where maybe it's easier to distance yourself. I mean, like you mentioned, COVID could have been a great thing for that, helping people get that way, or it could have worsened some things for some.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But there's still a lot of positives to be taken from it. And I think it probably forced a lot of people to look in the mirror, myself included, and change for the better, You know, I know a lot of people who emerged out of this COVID deal as better people and having better habits. And if not, I mean, shoot, now's your time.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know what you got to do, and let's get better. You know what I mean?
Coming up, Austin Allen, Travis Vocalect. Here on Athletes Unfiltered, Episode 3, great conversation about COVID. But on to more positive things. We'll have Austin and Travis.
The beat's going up. Yeah. Don't worry.
Stay tuned. Austin and Travis. Up next, here on Athletes Unfiltered. Welcome back. Athletes Unfiltered, episode number 3. We got a pair of guests with us today. Two men who individually is about a foot taller than me. Nebraska tight ends Austin Allen and Travis Vocalect. Gentlemen, how's it going? We're glad you're here.
It's good. Thanks for having us, you two.
Yeah, doing good. Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah. Now that we're on air, you know, they're just so much more polite, you know? They're not talking bunch of shit. Yeah, we're not bleeping that out. That's making it. Biggest shit talkers on our team right here, the two tight ends.
Just because you're trash at golf doesn't make you any more of a big man on this microphone podcast.
Yeah, I think it does. Mm-hmm. I'm better at golf than Austin, for sure. Maybe
how'd that work out last time?
Yeah, I was going to say, no way you're better than me.
I think Travis's back was hurting from carrying Austin the whole day.
All right, that's how we're starting this, huh?
That's how we're starting it right now. Some hostility.
Hostility. All right.
No, but let's get into some real stuff. So we're going to start with you, Oz. Obviously, the Nebraska-born kid. Talk about your recruitment. How'd that go? What made you decide to play for Nebraska?
Yeah, so I kind of got lucky in the whole recruiting process, and Nebraska was the first one to come calling, so I didn't really have to really, like, deal with, like, the D2, like, the smaller school side of things. Everything kind of was expedited when Nebraska came calling first and offered me, and that just kind of made all the other smaller schools kind of back off, and then just the other schools came calling in. And I mean, I had a choice. I could have went to East Coast, West Coast. I had my choices in that side of things, but knowing Nebraska and what this place is known for, I mean, Nebraska's or football is all we got here, and I knew that being an in-state kid, and I couldn't pass that down. I mean, there's other places I liked. Like, there's other.
So what was the second biggest competitor, would you say?
I mean, I did like Iowa State, just because I'm an ag kid. They had a great ag program. I liked their coaching staff too. I knew they had success in the future, and that I think that's shown
for sure.
What they did in the last couple of years. But it can't beat Nebraska. This is where all my family's from. I couldn't get away from them, and I've enjoyed every second of college here, even though football side of things hasn't really worked out best for us. I'm grateful for all the experiences I've got here.
Definitely.
I mean, you're Nebraska born. You're from Aurora. I mean, what was the first experience that you had with Nebraska? I mean, they had to be in the front of the line early on in your football career anyway, when you're really young.
Yeah, I am an in-state kid. I wasn't probably your typical in-state kid. I didn't go to a Husker football game until I was being recruited.
I mean,
it was on the TV every Saturday. We watched them. They're the first team we watched, but I wasn't the typical – we weren't the typical diehard Husker family. But like I said, it's all we got here. And so, like, I was kind of born into it, so to say. But I know what Nebraska football's about, so I couldn't pass it down.
Is there a reason maybe family wasn't a huge Husker family, I guess?
I don't know. We're a big sports family. Mm-hmm. We enjoy competing and stuff. My dad actually walked on here.
Oh, wow.
In the 80s at one point. He was here for a year, and then he transferred to Doan, which is a small NIA school here, and he played football and basketball, which is kind of unique. I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason why we weren't like every other family. It seems like here in Nebraska, just diehard fans, but we just enjoy Husker sports, I guess.
Speak about basketball a little bit. So just so the audience knows, how tall are you?
I'm 6'8".
6'8", feels like 6'10". You know, this dude's really tall. Did you get recruited in basketball at all?
I did.
You love playing. We played at the rec a couple times. We haven't done it in a while because of COVID and everything else, but hell of a ball player.
Yeah, that's another thing. Adrian gets dogged at by the tight end room. Let that be known.
I guess that was a layup for him. I was just trying to be nice. I was trying to hype him up. Basketball skills. Okay. You know, it's fine. It's fine. We'll go on to Travis on that note. You know, Austin, he doesn't need to talk anymore. Travis, tell us about your journey. So you didn't start at Nebraska. You started at Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
I also happen to know in high school you played a little safety.
Mm-hmm.
You were a little bit smaller.
Yep.
Pretty big now, you know, for the audience again. How tall are you?
6'7".
6'7", okay. Austin's trying to hold his laugh over here.
Austin can say what he wants. I'm 6'7".
Okay.
Sure.
6'7". I'm not down that. I just
– okay. All right. Well, yeah.
Make a lineman joke. What?
You said it, not me.
Hey, we'll bring that up. Yeah. We'll bring it up. Okay. But in high school, what was your recruitment like? What led you to Rutgers?
Yeah, so from Springfield, Missouri. It's a town down – southern part of Missouri. Went to Kickapoo High School, and you know, I was what you would consider a late bloomer. Didn't have very much interest until my senior year. I had a couple small schools come in the summer going into my senior year, just local schools that offered me, and then my first big offer was from Army, and then everything just kind of went on from there. I had Minnesota came in, Nebraska actually wanted me to walk on, and
the irony,
yeah, and Mr. Kurt Raftall, who's no longer here anymore, kind of took that spot for me. So he,
the irony again. Yep, we love Kurt. We love
yep,
Kurt.
Kurt's fired. My man. Yeah. So it came down to Wyoming and Minnesota and Rutgers. I wanted to play in Power 5 conference. Minnesota ended up taking that offer back when, you know, Fleck was hired.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is what it is. And then, you know, Wyoming wanted me to play D-end. I wanted to play tight end, and I wanted to play in a Power 5 conference. So, you know, kind of talked to my parents and decided that, you know, I'd take the long route out to New Jersey, and, you know, different place on the East Coast, for sure.
Yeah, I've been out to New Jersey one time, play Rutgers. And
wait, was that like, that was last season, right?
That was last season. Okay. Yeah. this dude, thinks he's a comedian. Was that very funny? I don't know.
I thought it was pretty funny.
I mean, we're laughing, so
exactly. We are laughing. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
Jeff's taking your side. Uh-huh.
I'm still picturing him as a D-end.
Yeah.
We like to make jokes on the team that Travis is left tackle.
Yeah, you know, he's on his way.
Who has the best body fat in this room right now?
I've been leaning out.
265 pounds, 17% body fat.
By like a half percent.
Yeah, Austin over there, Mr. McDonald's.
Okay, but don't hit on McDonald's. McDonald's has a very big place in my heart.
Yeah. So
at least he's not a Burger King guy.
I'll tell you why. I've stayed in Aurora with Austin's brother. There are two restaurants there. There's this one local place, and there's McDonald's.
Yep. Aurora does not have, McDonald's, yeah.
I get it, dude. I'm sorry that's just what you had to deal with. But
the food, I mean, it's bad for you. Tastes great, though. Great deals. I got the McDonald's app, and I get deals on there, and I can get a meal for very cheap.
Yeah. So I just moved in with Oz, and let me just tell you, the guy is not a good influence when it comes to eating dinner at fast food restaurants. Every other day, wants to go to McDonald's, get his freaking McDoubles and all that.
Because McDoubles like $1.20.
$1.20 on his app he uses.
Good grief.
Yeah, so I've had to tell him multiple times no. Because we're trying to take
care of him. Right.
I do love my McDonald's, I will say that, but then again, what does that say to you that I'm still a half a percent of body fat away?
Yeah, I don't know. It is what it is.
All right, so we're off the rails a little bit, but how did you end up in Nebraska?
Yeah, so out at Rutgers for 2 years. You know, I'm not going to lie, I wanted to leave after my first year. Knew that the NCAA was going to pass this transfer rule where – you know, you could either be eligible right away with a waiver and stuff. So I decided I wanted to leave, try to come back home to the Midwest kid. And, you know, I entered the portal when it wasn't a very popular thing to do right away because it was brand new.
Yeah.
So there wasn't, you know, over 1,500 kids in it like there is today.
Yeah. And even now, like, there's still a big stigma about transferring or about putting your name in the portal, which I think is misguided. You know, I wish people would be a little bit more understanding to guys wanting to find a place that suits them and, like, make the most out of their opportunity regardless. Like, I get commitment, and trust me, I get it. You know, staying a place and doing the whole deed, but it's not the right plan for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know,
when you have coaches who are leaving with 3 years left on their contract after spending 2 years out of school,
I think the players have every right to go somewhere else and go play. Mm-hmm. You know, coach can do the same thing and get paid a hell of a lot more.
Yeah,
yeah, completely agree, for sure.
But why Nebraska?
Yeah, so enter the transfer portal. I got a lot of schools coming in. And, you know, I was actually born in Lincoln.
Wow.
My parents went to Nebraska Kearney. Both went to college
there.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. I'm from Kearney. So,
okay.
Yeah, there
I got you
go.
You
UNK.
Yeah.
There
yeah,
you
yeah,
go.
So, yeah, so they're Lopers.
UNK shout out.
Yep, yep. So my dad played football out there, was a safety. My mom played volleyball. So they were out there, graduated, and then moved back to, I think it was Omaha for a little bit, and then to Lincoln. I was born here. So growing up, I was kind of a Cornhusker fan. And, you know, I never really saw myself playing here. So I'm entering the portal, and, you know, schools are reaching out. And in the back of my mind, I was kind of thinking I wanted to get back closer to family. I had schools that were reaching out. I had to tell them no right away because the whole reason I wanted to transfer was to get back closer to family, being 17 hours away. I mean, you know.
Oh, I know.
Tough.
Yeah.
It's
tough. It could be tough.
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, going to a place that you're not used to, or it's completely different, you know, I almost say type of life. It's hard. And, you know, you definitely have, you know, some times where it's really hard to deal with.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, coming from probably a Midwest way of life, and I would dare to say probably a little bit slower, like it's calmer, and going to a hustling city, you know, up in New Jersey. I mean, coming from California where I was and super busy, I think that transition to something slower is easier than going from what you're used to something that's just, like, always moving kind of can be a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's completely different. It's fast-paced. You know, there's some assholes out there. Definitely nice. There's some nice people out there, too. You know, I got, you know, guys who will be at my wedding from out there. So, you know, you know, like I said, schools were coming in. I've got my grandparents live in Lincoln. My aunt and uncles live here. Parents are from here, born here. And so Nebraska reached out and talked it through with my parents and decided this was the place to go. Came on a visit. Didn't even meet any of the guys.
You actually met me.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, I take it back.
Do you want to tell this? Because I could tell it too.
You got it.
Okay, so, you know, Travis is sitting there with his dad and one of our tight end coaches and I just look at him like, holy shit, like, who is this? Like, who is this kid? Like, what's going on? You know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, one of the guys comes, like, hey, you, like, need to go introduce yourself to this guy. I was like, okay, I will. He's like, shake his hand, like, what's your name? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm Travis. I'm like, you're in high school? You're a high school kid? I mean, what the hell's going on here? I literally told him, I was like, you're in high school. And then he's like, no, I'm not in high school. Like, you an idiot, you know. I was like, oh geez, this guy's definitely not coming here now. Just botch this conversation. But
yeah, yeah. So what Adrian's talking about is out of high school, I came out, well, I graduated like 210 pounds, so I was a little scrawny kid, and now I'm sitting here at 260 265. So
you're a burger away from a left tackle, dude.
Whatever. There it is. There it is. Yep, there it is. So, yeah, but I didn't meet any of the tight ends. I met Adrian. And like you said, when he came up, we had that little moment together, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, never forget.
Yeah. Jeez. And now I'm here. So, loved every part of it. Great guys in this program. You know, I think this program's going in the right direction. Yeah, excited for the future, excited for the season.
Yeah, no doubt. So, there's a little bit of PR talk in there, man. Like, come on, this is unfiltered. You can be a little unfiltered. But, yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you that part. Yeah. I agree, for sure.
But, yeah, Travis, you mentioned about recruiting and then coming here, New Jersey to Nebraska. Maybe just what are some of the subtle changes that you noticed from New Jersey coming here to Nebraska?
Yeah. So, I mean, like I've said, the way of life, it's speedy up there. And, you know, the Midwest, you know, slow pace. Everyone takes their time. No one's in a rush.
Nebraska nice.
Yeah, Nebraska nice.
That's a real thing. Yeah. I mean, that really is. Yeah, people are just super nice here.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was probably the biggest difference. And, you know, being out there for 2 years, I got used to it. I can't – this is funny. So, I'm back here – I'm actually back in Iowa where my parents are at. And I'm driving my sister. So, we're, like, just on the road. And I'm driving, like, fast as shit. And she's like, dude, what the hell is going on? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you're driving like you're from New Jersey. And I was like, no, don't say I'm from New Jersey. So, that's one of the – one of the things that, you know, really stuck out to me was just the pace of life.
I'm sure the traffic there was nuts.
Yeah, it's busy as shit too.
Yeah.
So, but like,
when we went out there and played at Rutgers, dude, it was like the roads were like one street wide. It felt like one lane wide. It felt like
And we were in a big old bus. Yeah. That was a trip.
Yeah. And the first thing I said I hated about New Jersey was the lack of dirt roads was killing me.
Yeah, the lack of dirt. This dude, Austin, yeah. Aurora, McDonald's.
That's the Nebraska kid talking about there.
Homegrown Husker.
Homegrown Husker. Big Austin back. Allen.
I hate on McDonald's, man. It's right next to the one stoplight in Aurora. One stoplight.
So it's fair to say probably the two of you, you're going to settle in the Midwest somewhere. Settle Midwest. You want to stay in the Midwest. I know I talked to Oz. You're content just going back?
He just wants to go back to Aurora.
Aurora, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't – because some people go back to Aurora, like that would be ideal for me. It doesn't have to be Aurora. I am an ag major, so Midwest probably is where I'm going to have to stay. But I love the Midwest. I don't see myself ever leaving it. I will go Kansas. I'll move, but if I had it a perfect world, I'd go back home. Aurora, Grand Island, just somewhere around home. Kearney would be nice.
Oh, yeah. Kearney. Shout out to Kearney.
Kearney, UNK. Trav, what about you? You have any, you know, put any thought to that? Back to old Missouri?
Yeah, you know, I've thought about it. And, you know, I'd be fine living in the Midwest. I also kind of want to move down south. I want to coach when I'm done playing, probably at the high school level. So thought about coaching at the college level, but, you know, just the time commitment and never getting to see your family and stuff, you know, just I don't know if that's for me yet. So I'll probably try that and then see what happens. And if I do end up coaching high school, I'll probably move down. I don't know. I was thinking Texas, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
Texas, Florida, somewhere where high school football is big.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it's probably fair to say that your dad's been a big influence in that.
I mean,
that, you know, being a coach, college coach.
Yeah, and your uncle as well, correct?
Yeah, for sure. You know, growing up as a coach's kid, it's different. You don't get to see your dad a lot. But, you know, he's grinding his ass off just trying to win games. And, I mean, you can see how our coaches work, too. They're up there from –
the time commitment is nuts.
Yeah, from, like, 5 a.m. to, like, 10:30, 11 at night and then do it all over again. And
then recruiting in the off season, there's really no off season for those guys.
Yeah, it's tough. But my dad's been my biggest influence in my life, and I think since I was 10, I told myself I wanted to number one be a college football player, and then number two try to make it in the NFL, and number three be a coach. So
I respect that.
Yeah, so I'm living the dream right now.
Living the dream, just playing golf, playing a little golf, playing a little college football, making it to the league. Both these dudes, freaking studs.
Yeah.
Oz, what about your parents, your influence there? I had the privilege of meeting your dad. Great guy.
Yeah, my parents are awesome. My dad's my biggest guy that encouraged me to be a competitor in sports. He's got me to love the game. My mom was always always there supporting me whenever in whatever I was doing. Love them both to death. They're both very competitive. Yard games, card games, whatever we're doing at home, it's the biggest competition. I'm on the block, so my parents are awesome. All my siblings we all had the opportunity to play sports in college, and so we're pretty, like I said, a competitive family. My sister ended up playing volleyball at KU, and my brother played college ball, and my other brother had the opportunity to play college ball.
Let's talk about the competitiveness in the tight end room. What's the dynamic like? What's Coach Beck like? Even old Steve in there. Lucky to have that guy, Coach DeMeo.
Steven.
Let's say, because that tight end room has suddenly gotten very crowded within the last couple of years. I mean, freshman year, especially Austin, when you got there, I mean, it was Jack Stoll and you and a couple others, but now you got four or five guys who could start at any other schools around the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's probably, I think I'm going to be biased here, but it's probably the most fun group on the offense. But Coach Beck is awesome. I think it's a consensus on the offense that Coach Beck is an OG. He is
an OG. Yes. He's got that old guy swag.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of football knowledge. He coached receivers at UCF. He said at one time he coached linemen for a bit, I think. You mentioned that?
I don't know.
He always liked to say he's a quarterback, played quarterback in high school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He coached DBs at UCF for a long time, too, so his understanding of defenses is awesome, and it helps us out a lot as a tight end group, understanding what we need to see, what we want to get accomplished and what we're seeing across the field. But it's awesome. Like you said, we got a lot of guys that are competing. Nate Borcher stepped up a lot this spring, and he's a guy that's going to be fun to watch here in a couple of years.
Young Bork, a little young Bork, I give him
a shout out right there for sure.
Yeah.
But the addition of Travis too in the last 2 years is huge, just because obviously a Power Five starter as a true freshman coming in helping us out. So it's we got a good group and good coaches and
great group.
Yeah. You know, I got to agree with Oz says. I think we have a lot of talent in our room, and I think the future is very bright in the tight end room.
Definitely got Buck Fedoni.
Yeah, we got Fedoni in there. You know who?
Carney.
Sadly, got hurt. Yeah, you got Carney, and then you got Hickman, who's in there, who joined us back in the spring after.
He's been a receiver, tight end.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been switching back and forth.
Yeah, he's been going back and forth.
It's a hybrid.
So yeah, the tight end's got a lot. Tight end room has a lot of talent, and you know I think. I've had so much fun with these guys. You know, I think coming here, I was very uncertain because I didn't meet any of the guys in the room.
Yeah.
And, you know, shit, I'm growing a mullet now after Jack Stoll.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, that doesn't tell you anything. I mean, shoot, shout out Jack Stoll.
Yeah.
We're going to have him on here at some point. But
Total Slaughter.
Total Slaughterhouse. Yeah. He'd understand the reference. But just a great guy, brought insane energy. I don't think there was a single guy who didn't like him. You know, just
one of those glue guys.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Anyone that I knew that knew him liked him and remembered him. You know, one of those guys that wasn't forgettable either. He was entertaining. I remember Jack Stoll, quick Jack Stoll story. When I first got to Nebraska, enrolled early, blah, 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 it's kind of overwhelming. Like, all these dudes on the team, you have no idea who anyone is. You know, you're just pressed to try and make friends, get to know the guys, whatever. And, like, the second day I'm there, Jack presses me about what his name is. Like, what? Like, I'm like, what's up, bro? He's like, what's up? Like, what's my name? I was like, I don't know.
That's tough as a freshman. Yeah. All those names?
I mean, exactly. It's one of the harder things you got to do. So he's like, all right, I'm six-pack Jack. That's all you got to remember. I was like, all right, six-pack Jack. That's what I called him for the longest until I figured out, you know, he didn't have a six-pack.
Yeah, worst abs in the tight end, for sure.
There were so many times in our workouts where he'd just sit there and go, Trav. Look at my six-pack. I'm like, bro, you do not have a six-pack. You're going to see a six-pack.
Yeah, neither one of you guys don't either, though.
Jeez. He's falling right in his footsteps.
Yeah, huh? Look at him. Yeah. I turned into that guy. He's got the mullet, got everything.
Just speaks for itself over here. I'll say it.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Let's talk about some games. Let's talk about some game experiences. You guys have obviously both played in some big-time games, big-time opponents. Who is the best player you've played against? I'm kind of curious to hear it.
Oh, this should be interesting.
I think. Well, I mean, Chase Young is obviously a beast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like personal, because I could say, Chase Young, he got drafted second overall, but
I have a different answer. You remember, I think it was your freshman year, my redshirt freshman year, we went to Michigan.
Dude, Bush. I was you stole my answer.
He was a beast.
Devin Bush is the best player I've ever played against. I mean, the speed was just stupid. I remember we ran an option, to the right side, and he was behind me. And I pitched the ball to Devine, and by the time the ball gets to Devine, Bush is, like, on him, tackling him. I don't even know how that happens. I remember running a draw, and he flies to go cover, like, our stick route.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already shooting up 5 yards, like, past the line. He's freaking there in a split second and hits the crap out of me. Like, this dude is insane. He's all over the place.
Head's still ringing.
There's a reason why I draft him in our Madden Fantasy League to use him as a middle linebacker.
yeah, he's nuts.
What about you, Trav? Got anyone in mind?
Yeah, another Michigan guy, Rashawn Gary. Mm. Yeah, that was tough.
Do you think it has anything to do with, too, like we were younger when we played those guys? So. You know what I mean?
Well, were you guys on the road, too?
We were on – well, that was probably the most – one of the most brutal games I've been a part of. We got beat pretty bad. Travis, you weren't here yet, but I mean, you played them at Rutgers. Yeah. But that was a tough game.
probably lost worse.
And Winovich, gosh, that dude was probably one of the biggest shit talkers I've ever played against. Chase Winovich, he's on the Patriots now.
He's a dude with like the long blonde hair.
He was on like the whole revenge tour, you know, that whole deal.
He was pretty good. I remember seeing him run down. Like,
I don't like to admit it, though.
Oh, well, yeah. But we. When was that? I don't know. One of our games against him, I'm blocking like out in the slot, like this outside backer. I might have been split out wide all the way out, blocking a corner. Our running back, this was when I was at Rutgers. Our running back, I don't know, running like a toss right or something. I'm blocking that guy. He gets past me. Little do I know, I think we're going to score 20 yards down the field. This man comes flying out of nowhere and makes the tackle. And I was like, are you serious?
That's a Patriot player right there.
Yeah, a dude.
Patriot way.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah. I was just shocked. It's pretty crazy.
I think that is interesting, too. I mean, we were freshmen. You were a freshman when you played them.
Yeah.
I think if we, like, played those, like, if we were our age now and we played them again, like, maybe. And I mean, they're still beasts, but, like.
Yeah, we're obviously better players, though, and have a different grasp on things and kind of have, like, things to reference. Like, you know, we played a bunch of teams, a bunch of players over the course of time, and, like, maybe it doesn't, like, stand out as much now that that guy's a good player, but so am I, you know, and we got a squad, we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Let's say at that point in time, I mean, maybe your first time in a huge environment at Michigan against a lot of NFL caliber players.
I think another thing is confidence too. That was a big thing for me as a young player. I was not confident in what I was doing. And that's not because I didn't know what I was doing. That's just because I was nervous. I don't know why.
Yeah. That's like half the game.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. I mean, confidence in yourself and those around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I will say that we're talking about Michigan. That was one of the most under – like, I think the stadium didn't live up to the hype. Like,
really? That's like, what I was going to ask. But like, say, how intimidating you say, like,
dude, are we playing there this year?
I think they're coming to us, right? I think they play here.
All right, so we're fine. So we're fine. I totally agree with
you. They call it, like, the big house. Like, I'm expecting, like, this place is going to be sick. And, like, we show up, and it's just, like, I mean, like a big bowl. Like, it was nothing more than just a
It was bowl. Weird, too, because you drive up to it, and it's, like, underground. So, the whole stadium isn't standing above like Memorial does, you know? Yeah. It's, like, underground. You get to it. I mean, it's super cool. It's old.
For sure. Like, I'll
give
them that.
But it goes out. You know, it doesn't go up. So you don't feel those fans as much. And I will say we were getting our asses handed to us. So maybe they weren't as into the game as, I don't know, another time. But it didn't – it just felt like, wow, there's a lot of people in here because it was sold out, something like that. But it didn't – it wasn't loud. Like, Ohio State was loud.
That was, Ohio State was cool.
Let's say I was going to ask about Ohio State, too. I mean, I think that's kind of underrated in terms of a big-time – I mean, maybe not. Big-time stadium because – just looks humongous.
I mean, it's huge.
It looks huge.
You got the mixed element of, you know, it's Ohio State, the history behind it, whatever else, and, you know, the crowd's more on top of you, and they're getting rowdy. I mean, they're into it. They got a good team, the whole bit, so they got everything flowing for them. I remember my freshman year, we go down there, it's fourth down, and I can't even hear myself talk, like trying to talk to the O-line.
Wow.
Ohio State was for sure the loudest of any –
Wisconsin was really cool environment, too. It's pretty loud. They do the whole, the night game there, whole jump around bit. You know, good for them, you know, whatever.
I think those students go there just for that, too, because remember in the first quarter of that game, the whole quarter of the stadium wasn't there, and they just started filling in the fans or filling in the students.
They're probably just tailgating the game, That's true. Getting hammered in the parking lot.
But then, like, they did the jump around thing, and then it felt like everybody left after that. So I don't know. Then again, it was a closer game. Like,
we lost by a couple touchdowns, I think.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, kind of back and forth, high-scoring game. I know we put up, like, more passing yards.
Yeah, I'd say that was a fun game offensive-wise.
Anyone in the last couple years.
I'd say, I remember that one, and that one was high-scoring.
Yeah.
What was that?
We've actually had some pretty good games with Wisconsin.
Yeah. We didn't play them last year.
Yeah. 2 years ago, though, when they came here, we should have. Yeah. I want that one back.
I don't know about.
Yeah, I want a lot of games back.
Yeah.
It's been
all those one score games.
An unfortunate theme, but we're getting that shit figured out, which is good.
But I say, as a fan, obviously it's going to be different as a player, but I always felt like Wisconsin was the underrated rival. Like, obviously Iowa, and I don't like Iowa, but I don't know. I respect Wisconsin, but also I just, I don't like him either.
Yeah, I mean, we don't like him either, for sure.
And I feel like
that's more
of a rivalry than some others that people have hyped up sometimes. Yeah. I don't know about you guys,
like,
though.
Now, I feel like Wisconsin and Iowa are those rivals. I think an underrated rival is kind of Minnesota.
Yep. Yeah.
I agree.
Well,
And then Illinois, I mean, they're our first game of the year, but they talk a lot of shit.
Dude. They do.
They talk a lot of shit than, I mean, Iowa's going to line up across from you and, like, know what they're about. They're going to hit the shit out of you. And, like, they're like Northwestern that way. Like, they're not going to mess up. They know what they're doing. They're not going to f*** it up. They're just not. They're going to play hard, balls to the wall. Not that these other teams aren't. They don't really say much. Illinois will talk all game. Up, down, tied, all game. You're hearing something from those dudes, and they're coming after you. So, I mean, I respect it. That's what their game's about. I'm trying to think of any other schools that are really big shit talkers. I mean, it's not really the reputation of the Big Ten, per se. You know?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, Colorado wasn't great. They're yapping a little bit, but
I mean,
you get that with every game too, though.
Yeah,
like, there's going to be talkers. Like, there's going to be two or three guys that just don't shut up.
What's the weirdest thing said or done to you in a game?
Oh my gosh! Oh, remember Northwestern
on
the Borat thing?
Yeah, yeah.
We're lined up on a punt. There's another story about punt I was going to get to, but Cade was lined up, and Cade had a fat mustache. Shout out Cade Warner, but.
Yeah,
Cade had the meanest mustaches, and this guy was like, "This is gonna be the unfiltered part." But he
come on, just fill it out.
He said the guy from Crossman goes, "That's a nice mustache." And you're like, "Hey, this guy's got a Borat mustache." And we're all like, kind of joking. I'm like, "Yeah, he's got a Borat mustache." And he goes, "Well, Borat's a racist," and like just calling like 81's a racist, like. All that stuff's like, jeez. Like
Northwestern was?
Yeah.
All those guys were chirping him?
Yeah. I was like, that turned to the worst quick.
That's a very weird connection there.
Jeez. But we're lined up on punt, too, and there's.
This is funny.
The nose guard.
He was huge. Like,
just a big bowling ball.
Like, yeah, he looks like just a big bowling ball.
5'10", maybe.
Northwestern?
Bills. Yeah. And he just lines up on punt. He's like, oh. Fat ass in the A-gap, coming for you, boys. I'm coming. Like, just screaming the whole time, just like at the snap of the ball. Just smoked the shield, which sucked because I was in the shield at the time, and that was awful. But it was so funny just getting a laugh pre-snap and that guy saying, oh, fat ass in the A-gap.
Is there usually a lot of chirping going on and like special teams, like punt like that?
Yes. Most of the time, just because, I mean, more likely than not, it's going to be a fair catch, so we're out there just.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say we're out there having fun, but like,
I mean, yeah, we're always out there having fun. All right,
I mean, there's times where, you know, there's guys definitely talking shit, but there's some dudes who are like either out there on the other team that you kind of, you know, just kind of mess around with, and you kind of have just funny conversations with them.
Yeah, just like throughout the game.
Yeah, and you just say some stuff, and you're like, that's pretty funny. and there's been multiple times where. Like, we'll be running, and some guy's saying something to me, and I'm just laughing while I'm running. Like, trying to run a route, just laughing my ass off. So, I don't know.
We're going to need you to knock that shit off and lock it in, Trav, because that's not acceptable.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I was going to say something. So, my freshman year at Rutgers, I think it was my freshman year, we came to Memorial and played you guys, almost beat you guys. I guess you weren't here.
Almost beat us. I mean, I wasn't here, and you're on Nebraska now, but anyways.
Yeah. Almost.
So we came here, and that, you know, was probably the coolest experience I've ever had, up to actually playing in Memorial. Still haven't played in front of 90,000 because of COVID and everything.
Wow, dude.
I didn't even think about that.
And not even trying to be biased, I think Memorial Stadium's the best.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, just all-inclusive, like everything you get with that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to top the balloons when you score. I mean, they're into the game, respectful enough. I don't think those guys get chirped a ton on the sideline. Like, when we go to Iowa, like, dudes are talking
right there
shit to us
really?
All game behind our backs. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's crazy to me that it feels like you've been here for 3 years and you still haven't played in a true.
Even as a spectator, media person, feels like you've been here for, like, three years.
Yeah. So I had to sit out that first year and – was still on the sideline, but didn't play in front of them. And then COVID hit, and played in front of what? How many people are at our games? Like 7,000, something like that.
Yeah,
just family and friends.
Yeah,
but this year's the year. I'm excited.
No doubt.
And even running out in the spring game, like it's
It's a different feeling.
I can't even explain it. It just hits you so hard, and you're like, oh my god.
The music, too. Yeah. Oh, dude, probably the hypest, though, I've ever been. Remember the Akron game?
Oh, my. The first game.
Dude, the first game, Trav, I don't know. I can't explain it. But okay. Frost's first game, night game. I mean, Jeff, you...
Yeah, I was there. That is a once or twice in a lifetime feeling.
Yeah, that was Frost's first game. I will never forget that.
I mean,
yo, it was
the...
The Frost era was like...
I've heard even, like...
The music, talking the tunnel about walk.
It. Yeah, it was a night game, too. Night game.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, if we played that game, we would have won 60-0, I swear. I was hyped out of my mind. First ever game, we were running, like, a draw play first. Dude, I was taking it to the house. I was taking it to the house.
I was, like, my first time being on the field, too, because I was on kickoff return. You know how we lined up for kickoff return or whatever?
Yeah, didn't they kick it?
Yeah, they kicked it, and then...
Kicked it, the guy comes running on the field like, hey.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I think you guys were lining up for a play.
Yeah. And yes. I remember seeing on Twitter, somebody's like, well, dissecting the game here is just a screenshot of one play. I said, well, there's a lot of things you can run out of this formation. That was funny, though. You're right, though. That was experience I'll never forget.
Dude, unreal. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm sure they'll be pretty hyped when we get back in there, yeah. You know, for that first game back Memorial. It's sold out, I'm assuming.
Yeah. It's going
to
be.
You know.
Wish it's, they would give you guys a night game.
Dude, yeah. No.
You know, part of it, we got to win some games.
That's
part of
a
it.
Big part I agree. Of it.
Second part is, you know, when you're on the road, not night games.
It's kind of nice.
It's nice, and it's preferable. You know, one, the atmosphere. It's always rowdier at night. I remember when we played at Illinois my sophomore year. Yeah. I guess your sophomore year, too. It gave, like, free tickets out to the students, so the students are all showing out. And I was like, wow, they actually packed this place, and it was rowdy.
Yeah.
I mean, night games are just like that.
And it sucks.
And then going home, you get home at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when we went to Rutgers and played that night game.
Oh, that was terrible.
I think we got back at, like, 5.
Yeah. We got back late.
It sucks in the, like, night games, too, on the road, just because you're locked in the hotel all day.
Yeah.
You can't do anything until, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a business trip, and we wouldn't expect anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're going to go roaming the city the day of the game, you know? Like,
yeah.
You have nothing to do except watch college football, study your game plan, and like, all right, like, this is what I'm doing Saturday, waiting for our game, which sucks. And then you get back at a brutal time. All right, well, quick turnaround here for the next game, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I'm not complaining about that, but I do want a home night game.
I agree.
Dude, yep, one more.
Well, speaking of that. Tell me, I mean, I don't think, Travis, you would have played in it, but you were probably there. The Ohio State night game, college game day.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. Except us getting our asses kicked, besides that.
The result probably wasn't what you wanted, but.
Yeah. It was still a really cool environment. Mm-hmm. I mean, we played Northern Illinois at night, too. That was cool. They did, like, the red light show or whatever.
That was the first time they did that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So that was sweet.
Yeah.
That was sweet. But, I mean, college game day being here was electric, like, all week. A ton of fun.
Yeah, it's fun for us, fun for the fans. I mean, like, they obviously get that experience. They don't get that often. They filled out that parking lot out.
Oh, yeah.
East side of the stadium.
Yeah, showed out. I mean, they did their part.
Yeah.
They did their part. Yeah, that was a tough game. They were a really good team. We could have played a hell of a lot better that game. But when you play really good teams, and, I mean, in the Big Ten, the margin for error is so small. I mean, I know you guys know that. But, like, we've lost a ton of close games that could have easily gone our way. If a couple other plays would have been executed better, you know, type of deal. But when you play a really, really good team, like, that margin for error is slim to none.
Yeah.
And you got to be executing and dialed in, and when that opportunity comes for them, like, you're going to get hit in the face, you know?
Yeah.
Got to be able to swing back and not be scared off by it. You know, like, for example, this last year we played Ohio State. It's 21-17, I think. I fumble, they score, punt, score again. It's like
that's the change of the game right there.
That's the change of the game right there. And we were battling with them. We were right there, and they knocked us on the canvas, and we didn't respond the right way. And they made it to the national championship.
Yeah.
You're not – if you're f***ing up more than 3 times in that game, you're not winning the game. It's just how it goes, you know. If you guys can speak to that too.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. We played a great game until we started making errors, and then it's just all downhill from there. But you're exactly right. The margin of error in the Big Ten is – very slim.
Yeah, the teams are, like, really alike. I mean, they're all talented. They're all good. I mean, we're playing college football. We're playing the Power 5 Conference, and this is what we expect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the way some of the teams play, like, more, like, ball control. You know, like, the Iowas and Wisconsins, like, they're going to have the ball a good chunk of the game because it's, like, kind of the style that
they
play.
They're going to have it close to 20 minutes.
So your possessions are getting shut down, and that means you have to make even less mistakes. You know, you're not going to get as many opportunities, and you got to make the most out of those possessions, and that's kind of the Big Ten, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of how it goes.
For sure.
And, I mean, that's interesting, too, because you guys are on an offense that's meant to strike quick and meant to go fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How frustrating is that sometimes to play against those teams that hold it for close to 20 minutes, and you're just sitting on the sideline sometimes being like, come on, I want the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's – I like it, too, when your defense is showing out. And, I mean, they can take their time for three downs, but as long as our defense holds them to three and out, I mean, that's – we get plenty of time to rest and recover and get out there and get accomplished what we need to get accomplished.
Yeah, and we've kind of had, like, a blend of the offense now, too, of, like, striking quick and, like, kind of not going as fast, mixing the tempos. I think that's helped, too, because, you know, that could be hard on the defense.
Yeah.
And when you talk about that, how you kind of adjusted the offense to maybe a little more balance in terms of slowing it down, sometimes speeding it up, was that something that you've seen evolve from the first time you arrived on campus and running the offense?
I would say for sure. And I think those things are natural and they have to happen. You have to be able to change and adapt and just kind of the way things go. You know, you figure out the Big Ten. I think we've all had that adjustment period. You know, there's still a lot of those elements that when we first got here that were like the main part of the offense. Those things are still here. It's just about finding little nuances and mixing in different things that'll help our team. And I think that's what we've done and have gotten to a good spot at right now. I feel good about what we're doing right now is as good as it's been. So
I agree, 100% agree. I like you said, when we first got here, there was stuff that obviously worked in the American Conference at UCF that they obviously didn't know any better when they got here, and we ran it and kind of got shut down in a way because the Big Ten conference or Big Ten DNs were a little more disciplined, so to say. Not to hate on the American Conference, they got good ball players, but like you got really disciplined teams here, and just some of that stuff doesn't work. And I think, like Adrian said, the way we nitpick certain parts of our offense is just getting better and better, and I really like it.
Kind of like fine-tuning it.
Yeah.
When you have defensive ends getting drafted number two overall, you have to make those adjustments.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Sure.
Austin Allen, Travis Vokolek joining us here, Athletes Unfiltered. We'll take a break, then we'll come back with our favorite part of the show, Tweets Unfiltered. Tune in. Stay with us.
We got to reel it back in into the best segment of this show, I might add.
Oh, you know, for sure.
Best segment, Tweets Unfiltered. Austin Allen, Travis Vokolek, currently combing through their phones right now looking for some things.
Dude.
Let's go ahead and bring up Coach Beck's tweet. Bring it up. Let's see what it's about.
The OG?
The OG.
Come on.
Set the scene.
So this was actually just the other day, and it's a tweet by Trent,
you know his last name,
Mossbrucker.
Come on,
no, I knew his last name. I just don't want to mispronounce it. But I think we just had another tight end commit, and he just tweeted out a picture. Or it's a GIF, right? Or GIF?
Is it GIF? I think GIF or GIF. I always say GIF, but I think it's GIF.
Oh my goodness, you're a GIF guy.
I'm a GIF guy.
You just said GIF.
But I say GIF, but I'm pretty sure the right pronunciation is GIF.
Yeah, I think it's GIF.
Okay.
That's how it's usually said.
I'm not numbered. Right. I'm a GIF guy now.
Anyways, so...
wow, follower.
So Trent just tweeted out this GIF of Beck, you know, flicking his hood with his AirPods in and his little
like
gold bracelet, just looking like an OG.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best tweet I could find right now, because I sent it to Oz and just said, look at our coach.
It's not even a comment? Baller. There's no comments under it or anything?
No,
the tweet needs
that's
no
all
words.
You guys
it's just
that's all you guys brought to the table.
No, okay. Well,
this is Tweets Unfiltered.
I had
talking
okay.
About.
I don't. Oh I can't gosh. Find the tweet, but unreal. Somebody tweeted at me and said I had okay. Unbiasedly, I guess, kind of selfishly, not unbiasedly, selfishly. I had a good game blocking, and a fan tweeted, like, Austin Allen, a great game blocking. So I was like, oh, sick. I'm getting some hype on Twitter. Like, come on. And then some guy like, quote tweeted or replied to it, Austin Allen actually had a terrible game blocking. I was like, that's a knock on my confidence right there. The guy was Joe Schmo 0034. Like, you could tell it was a
bot.
Yeah, it was a bot. Burner account. But, like, it's just funny to laugh at those kind of things. I mean, a lot of times the actual account will tweet something and people will just start roasting us for no reason at all. Like, on the things, it's just funny to scroll through and it's like, man, you're a computer in a basement somewhere probably. Like, shut up. Like, it's just funny to look at now.
You want to hear it, Adrian?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So it's a tweet. The tweet's from Nebraska football, and it says, like, don't drink the Kool-Aid, like, 15 times.
Oh, I forgot about that. I don't think we brought that up.
Number one comment at the top. I'm sure we'll be drinking about 4 wins worth with number 2 as our QB.
Oh, no.
Wow.
You know what?
Wow.
That's just some hate.
It is, dude.
That's just some hate. Come on, man. That doesn't make me feel good, first off. Don't drink the Kool-Aid if you don't want to, first and foremost. You know, I'm drinking it myself. I think we're doing pretty freaking good right now.
Yeah.
Great off season. And to that guy, can I hear his username? Who is this?
Hold up.
Hang on.
That's the first comment underneath.
That's the top comment.
It's top comment. My tweet.
It's got 7 likes. I mean, it's not really. Yeah.
It was Travis's burner account, actually. You know,
we're the guys hating on you.
Yeah. Oz, you got a tweet.
I'm scrolling, buddy.
All right.
Gosh, you guys are slow.
We're bots. I'm sorry. Right. Sorry, we don't like technology.
Oh, okay.
From the Midwest, dude. We ride our horses to school, and we don't have electricity here.
We have tractor days at school.
We do have tractor days.
I know you do. That's why I said.
There was a day when all the guys that had, like, trucks and stuff, they always put American flags in the back of the truck, and then we'd line the whole school with American flags, and people have the tractors.
You just thought you were just sick. Took pictures and
American
put that on Twitter with your...
It is. I probably pulled, like, 4.
The account is, how do you pronounce that?
Jerezda
1 from Omaha.
Jer.
Wow.
Jer.
Can I see this guy?
Jerezda.
It's a...
Oh.
Not even a face on his profile picture.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Hiding behind a screen, man. Yeah. Come tell it to me.
Following the followers ratio is terrible.
Come tell it to my face. Yeah. Meet me on the course. Let's go.
I don't know if that guy's probably played a snap of football in his life, but he can comment whatever he wants on a little
keyboard.
Dude,
you know... That's the thing. I mean, we've gotten into it a ton in this section. You got to laugh at it. You got to love it. It's part of what comes with the territory. And you know what? I could be honest, man. I don't give 2 shits if that's what you think or if that's what you believe. Because I feel great about us, about myself, enough to not care. That's how you feel.
Yeah.
Side note. Go f*** yourself. No, but for real, it's funny to look at. Those things are not going away. I mean, they're not. And it's funny. Like, have you guys gotten any hate, like, on Twitter like that? I mean, I...
But say, with you guys not being able to find anything, that must be
a good sign.
Oh, I'm sure it's out there. I haven't really looked it up.
You guys aren't...
I mean, the spotlight's a little bigger on, like, Adrian, obviously. Cause,
yeah. Yeah, you're both not really social media guys a ton.
Really not.
What about, like, Instagram? Like, what's your social media of choice? Instagram gets its fair share, I mean, at least for me.
I'm a big Instagram guy.
Oh, I bet you are.
Yeah.
Likes to flex his mullet Monday, mullet Thursday, mullet Wednesday.
Every day.
You got a mullet.
Yeah, mullet every day. so, yeah, that's probably my biggest... use of social media is Instagram.
You and Cam's talked about it a little bit with
shut
Cam.
Up, Ping.
Oh my, the
shut up,
the
Ping.
Adding. Oh my god, adding. Shut so up. These guys seem to think that they're going to get sponsored by a major golf company when name, image, and likeness comes through. So they decide to just tweet at golf companies like TaylorMade. At TaylorMade, I love your clubs.
Yeah. Didn't Cam literally just post something about TaylorMade?
Yeah.
Yes, he tags them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It won't even be anything related to it. Like, maybe I'll tweet something like, oh, I had a great day on the course or something, just like very basic. And you're like, yeah, maybe it was great, but not as great as my at Ping driver. Like,
what is that?
Yeah. So,
what is that?
First off, Ping is way better than TaylorMade, and you can ask Cam Jurgens.
Oh, just wait
till
I get on the course with my new TaylorMade.
Yeah.
Sim 2.
Throwing plugs out.
Yeah.
Do like a cinematic. camera roll.
Dude, we're going
to
get
him.
Can't
wait to get back on the course with my tailor-made attire and stuff like that.
He's going
to
get our digital creative team to make a highlight of him using his pink driver.
Yeah, me and my slice every time.
You should see this guy swing a club for real though. It's just powerful.
Dude, you talk a lot of game for losing to us.
I was talking him up.
I saw an opportunity to diss on you.
I was so eager to jump in there.
Yeah, but for real. So Cam and I actually played today, and I'll just let you ask him how that went for him.
Oh, I do know.
Obviously, I kicked his ass.
Yeah, but he beat me yesterday.
He beat me yesterday. But yeah. I don't know. I think that the endorsement deal is probably going to happen.
Especially after they see
the way that I've been hitting the ball off the tee box recently, and the fact that I have a lot of Tiger Woods gear, so I'm basically Tiger Woods.
Is Tiger Woods a ping guy?
No, I think Tiger's a TaylorMade guy. It hurts.
Tiger's got to make a TaylorMade
guy.
He's a TaylorMade guy.
You got to make a decision if you're going to be Tiger Woods or if you're going to be a ping guy.
Well, because Nike doesn't make clubs anymore, you know.
They made clubs.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Nike used to make clubs.
I knew they made like golf balls, but I didn't know they made clubs.
Yeah.
Because they don't make golf balls either, right?
Nike
anymore?
Yeah. Oh, not anymore.
TaylorMade.
Yeah.
Yeah. TaylorMade isn't.
Yeah.
There.
Which I mean, I don't know what to say about
that. Speechless,
but,
dude. You just you ended your own argument. I know. I mean.
Yeah, I did.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. These two guys apparently just have great interactions on social media all the time, so there's no negative on Instagram, Twitter, Snap, TikTok. You guys got TikTok?
There always is stuff. Like, there's stuff that pops up on your phone that you read that never, actually click on. That just, you read, it's like, oh, it was a kind of douchey thing to say. Like, you just – stuff you're just like, wow, that was very uncalled for. But, like
– I just laugh it off. I think it's
hilarious. That's what I'm saying. Like, I laugh.
And I mean, you said it before. Like, all the guys on the team, we just read it and just laugh our ass off about it.
Yeah.
Like, we –
It's funny when we shoot the shit about certain things come on gotta love it
you get that done and then you just clear it you don't even they get the satisfaction of us reading it I mean when you mention
maybe
something.
if they know they don't even know if we did, if we have or haven't you know but I mean they love you and they love you but
no there's
if you're not performing you're passionate enough to care about it you know and you gotta respect
no we got very passionate fans and there's always going to be people out there who are going to support you no matter what, and then there's going to be fans who are going to shit on you. Mm. So, yeah.
They're going to shit on you, period.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, my sister likes to roast me.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, look at Rob Austin.
Dude, which one are you looking at?
Is that you?
Which one are you looking at?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, geez,
my gosh, something like a – good throwback basketball pick.
Dude, I got a cringy one. My sister tagged me in. I'm holding a chicken, and I got gaps in my teeth when I was a little kid.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh.
Look at that.
Oh, dude. My.
It's bad. I live on a farm, and I had a little egg business. I sold a dozen eggs for 50 cents. I don't even know what it is. I was a little young entrepreneur. And so the newspaper came out and doing a little gig on me, and I was sick. So hold a chicken. And I was all right, I'll hold
you're
a chicken.
You're cheesing hard.
And, I had a huge double chin.
There's a stage of learning how to smile. When you're a young kid.
Sure. Yeah. Still learning. I mean.
facts. But
usually at first you look like you're in pain.
In pain, dude. Yeah, my girlfriend's younger brother, he's 12 right now. And he's smile. And all the relatives are making fun of him because he looks like he's in pain.
You have to have that. People saying you have an ugly smile to be I need to fix my smile. My siblings roasted me. And I maybe made me work on my smile.
Yeah.
I was just,
dude. Sorry.
I don't know about that smile.
Might have to take that one out.
I'm just fucking around. Still coming through these tag pictures.
Why am I getting pointed out?
I don't even know. Austin has, Travis has some brutal ones, too.
That guy's grabbing.
I have no idea.
Who are you grabbing?
Dude, I never had Instagram until I was in college.
Really?
Yeah. My parents were super strict about social media, and I didn't have Twitter until I was sophomore in high school, and it was only because of recruitment.
Yeah.
Only. Wasn't allowed to have a Snapchat. You know?
My sister just roasts me, but disrespect
towards Austin Allen.
Wasn't a great picture taker for about 20 years of my life.
He wasn't a cute kid. No, that's foul.
Oh,
that's foul.
Man.
Oh, yeah, Trav.
Dude, I know I have some. I got some
pictures of Travis. your fan page. Trav has a fan page on Instagram, if nobody.
Really?
Was, yeah.
Wow. So
you made it yourself.
It's like two followers. No, I did not make myself.
Three followers.
Do you follow it?
Number one picture?
Yeah.
Oh!
So it's not really a fan page. It's like a...
It's... So
get dirted on page.
Yeah, it was basically just a shit on me when I was in high school. Like, somehow these people got these pictures of me, and we're posting them on there. I guess one picture.
The bio says, "What can I say? He is a baller, McDonald All-American."
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Some basketball reference.
Yeah, I can shoot the three a little bit.
I saw Trav play basketball.
Anyone that says I could shoot the three a little bit cannot shoot
for sure. I saw Trav shoot a basketball for the first time, probably since high school. And granted, he has added 60 pounds, and it was the ugliest.
Like, Travis probably looks like that guy. You ever, like, just lift heavy arms, a ton of arms, and you go try and shoot a basketball? It's Trav 100% of the time.
Just doesn't bend right for a basketball.
Out there, and it just, like, flies out of his hand.
Yeah.
Breaks.
Just flies over the backboard.
Yeah. I don't know. My shot was pretty flat every time.
Yeah.
Like, I never got my arm up. I just, ow.
Just like a dart right to the hoop.
Yeah. But... I don't know.
Not surprising.
Yeah.
Not surprising at all. I have one more random topic because I think we're pretty much done, right?
Yeah. We haven't talked about the mullet yet, though.
We haven't talked about the mullet. Yeah, we talked a little bit about Jack Stoll influence. Mm-hmm. Where are you at with the mullet? Why is it still on your head? And
why are you the way that you are?
Why are you the way that you are? Is it a mentality? Is it a lifestyle?
It's 100% a lifestyle. Mm. You know, when I was in high school, I told my friends I was going to grow a mullet. And
never pulled the trigger.
Well, no. Yeah. I never pulled the trigger. And I think it was for prom. I was like, guys, I'm going to grow a mullet for prom. And it never happened. I was too scared.
Just afraid of what people thought of you.
Yeah. And back in high school, I cared about what people thought about me. I don't now. But obviously,
I don't now.
obviously, I don't care. But I like this like little curl. And I got like this curling gel to try and make it like stick out.
Pause.
And stuff. Yeah. So that never happened. And then, you know, I got here and I saw Jack, met Jack, and I was like, I have to do it. And he talked me into it. At first I wasn't going to do it.
Jack could talk you into anything.
100%, yeah.
He may be, I'll let you finish. No,
okay. So Jack talked me into it, and then it's been a connection. The Mullet Bros.
Connection.
Yeah.
The Mullet Bros. How many guys on our team have mullets now? At least five.
Well, we have another one in the tight end room. We got two. We got Hickman, Bork. Hickman, and Little Bork.
Does Hickman count? His is like a Jerry curl. Which, I mean, hey, I'm in the same boat, Hickman. No disrespect. Like, I'm wearing a hat right now. I got a little thing going on the back. You know, it's a little maybe mullet-ish. You know,
give Little Borks a year, and his is going to be disgusting. Because he's just a disgusting enough guy to let it go for
disgusting
years.
Is a good term in the tight end room. Just throwing that out there just for some context.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we got, how many guys on the team with mullets? Probably,
I don't know. I don't
10 maybe? I don't know.
10?
Maybe less. There was at one point where we had a shit ton.
Dude, Reed Carroll had a naughty one.
Reed Carroll. Naughty. Shout out Reed Carroll, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Missed that guy.
He was my, he was right next to me my first year here in the locker room.
Dude,
and
that's crazy.
Yeah, his mullet was nasty.
Reed was goated. Just a hell of a guy.
Good dude. Great dude.
Austin Allen, Travis Vocalect. Joining us on Athletes Unfiltered, Episode 3. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. It was a fun time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, too.
Make sure listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you can listen to podcasts. And make sure go to our social medias, at @ATH Unfiltered on Twitter and Instagram, and our personals as well, at @MartinezTheQB and at @ExxonSports. Thank you for joining us. From Adrian Martinez, I'm Jeff Ekstrom. We'll see you next time.